AgriTalk is sponsored by Coron Metra. Manage fertility your way with Coron Metra from Helena, providing flexible in-season applications and maximum nutrient use efficiency. And by Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. That's it. Party's over. Old crop bean prices have been high enough for a long enough period of time to ration demand. Well, at least for now, that's true. Corn carryover down more than expected, and the wheat crop was in line with trade expectations. We have got a pile of USDA info to cover.
Live from Sam and Diane Thursday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Kent Beadle of AgSurion Risk Consulting and CHS Hedging. Right after the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Okay, I'm going to need a little explanation on that. The Sam and Diane Thursday?
I couldn't figure it out. I looked through the entire S&D report, found nothing about Cheers. Nothing. Why would they title it S&D if they're not going to cover Sam and Diane? At least mention Frasier.
If we're not going to cover Sam and Diane.
You know, for a while I thought that if I was on that show, I'd be Frasier, but who are we kidding? I'd be Woody. There's just no question about it. I just have to know myself. You know what I mean?
I'm coming in as coach.
I think we pigeonholed ourselves. We've got to figure it out.
Yes. Big Apple Joe just made a good point, too. It's Thursday, and Cheers dominated Thursday TV.
You see?
Yeah.
Just keep peeling the onion. Keep peeling the onion.
Man, I tell you, where can you get analysis like this?
It stinks clear to the middle. I'm just going to, just spoiler alert.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Hello.
Wow.
Report
a bigger move than what I expected in the corn carryover. I had the direction right.
Yes.
A bigger move than I expected in the bean carryover. I had the direction right.
Mm-hmm.
Wheat, kind of. I'm kind of indifferent to the changes that we saw in the wheat balance sheet, but this has the changes to the balance sheets today on old crop have an influence on the new crop and potentially on the price outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially on Roger just texted me. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Roger.
Roger just texted me. Dibs on Norm. That's looking to be committed to it right there. I love
Big
it.
Apple's calling, you know, Cliff Clavin.
And the good thing is, I think we've got a guy that's a little like Cliffy Clavin coming on to the show today in Kent Beadle. The guy knows it. Knows it all. Knows, like, he's got tidbits about everything out there. I love it. Perfect. Hey, AgriTalk is brought to you by the Pork Checkoff, celebrating pork and the people who bring it to your table through real pork. More details are available at porkcheckoff.org. Make sure that you check out this morning show. We talked animal health with Dr. Mm-hmm. Paul Sundberg, Swine Health Information Center. We talked exports with Joe Sheely.
Yes.
All right. Let's get to the details here. What do you got, man?
I want sausages.
Wheat export sales in the weekend of June 3rd totaled nearly 326,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. USDA's crop production report featured a 26 million bushel increase in the U.S. winter wheat crop, pushing the all wheat projection up by that amount. Big gains in the hard red crop from last month were partially offset by cuts to the expected white winter wheat crop. Old crop wheat carryover dropped 20 million bushels from May, with 2021 wheat exports increased by that amount. The smaller beginning stocks peg offset most of the increase in the crop estimate. July hard red winter wheat, 4.5 cents higher, 640 and a quarter. July soft red up a penny and a half, 683 and three quarters. September spring wheat, I don't have my quote on that one.
I've got it for you right here. September spring wheat up 12 cents, 781 and three quarters. They moved the rain out of the northern plains. Or I should say the rain moved out of the northern plains, brought a little buying interest back to that spring wheat market.
Okay. While export sales of corn in the weekend of June 3 totaled nearly 190,000 metric tons for delivery in the new current marketing year, new crop sales, pretty disappointing, 26,400 tons. Old crop corn carryover was cut 150 million bushels from last month, with exports up 75 million. And you called it, corn for ethanol use up 75 million bushels. The Brazilian corn crop estimate of 98.5 million metric tons is down 3.5 million from May, but is well above some private estimates, with new crop beginning stocks now at 1.107 billion bushels. 21-22 corn carryover was cut 150 million bushels to 1.357 billion. July corn futures 8 1/4 cents higher, 6.99. December corn up 6 1/4, 6.38 1/4. December corn closed at 6.16 1/2, up 6 3/4. Chip?
I'll tell you this, the 75 million bushel increase in the corn export estimate suggests that the Brazilian corn crop is smaller than 98.5 million metric tons. We'll talk about that later with Kent.
Old crop soybean export sales of 15,700 metric tons were in line with trade expectations. New crop sales of 105,000 metric tons were at the low end of trade guesses. Estimated old crop soybean crush was cut 15 million bushels from last month, pushing USDA's bean carryover peg up to 135 million bushels. The larger beginning stocks for new crop pushed 21-22 bean carryover up to 155 million bushels. July bean futures 18 1/2 cents lower today, 15.44. August beans down 13 to 15.10. November bean futures closed at 14.59 1/2. That's up 11 1/4 cents. Chip?
All right, we'll get to the cotton and livestock at the start of the next segment here. Thing on that carryover on soybeans, the stocks-to-use ratio is still just 3%. That is the smallest. Yep. That is the smallest since the 2013-14 marketing year. And as a matter of fact, the 2021-22 bean carryover or stocks-to-use ratio is 3.5%, which would be the second smallest since 13-14. So it's still a very tight situation there. All right, thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing good. Just trying to catch my breath. It's been a wild week, but a fun one.
Yeah. So what is this week telling you? And obviously include today's reaction.
Well, obviously the weather is the thing that people are watching closely. And we're not going to make or lose a crop anytime soon. So I think a lot of these shorter-term opportunities are continue to be present in the market. I was looking at July corn. We're about in a 48-cent range for the week, but we're really only 3 cents up on the week from Sunday's open. We've traded 22.5 cents higher and 25.5 cents lower. So there's plenty of opportunity there for shorter-term traders. For producers, it's probably a little bit more of a headache.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So the trend that we've got going in this hog market, you still liking it?
The trend is your friend until the end when it bends. The fact that we've seen this big run-up in the July contract and haven't gotten a clear-cut rejection after trying to consolidate here is constructive. You've got a little bit of a bull flag. So long as we can continue to defend that 120 level, break and close below 120, you might start to encourage some long liquidation from the funds. But if we're able to break out above this week's highs, there's not a whole lot of technical resistance, obviously, because we're back in uncharted territory. And when we look for resistance levels, we look for the interaction, previous interaction between buyers and sellers. Get out above those highs, there's not a whole lot there. So it becomes more momentum than anything.
Right, right. All right. Good perspective right there, Oliver. Thanks, man.
Take care.
You bet. That's Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. He's absolutely right. This is a tough time of the year to lose a crop, but this is the time of the year where we can set a crop up for failure later. So we need to keep that in mind. We're going to talk to Kent Beadle from Agsurian about that next.
American-based and family-run, Simplot Grower Solutions knows what it takes to keep a farm and your way of life productive and thriving. It takes field-proven insights backed by trusted technologies and products that help you get the most out of every acre. It takes a local ag expert you can grow with, a down-to-earth partner focused on your success. Head to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com and take the next step with us. Simplot Grower Solutions, in your fields, by your side.
For a farmer, every day is different, and every season tells its own story. Make this the year you do it your way. Coron Metra is a foliar fertilizer that lets you decide when the time is right for nutrition. Metra gives you flexibility. It gives your tank efficiency. And Metra gives your crop more than just nitrogen. Coron Metra, the next evolution in crop nutrition. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration before use.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could be with us this afternoon. I'm Chip Flory. We're going to have a conversation with Kent Beadle from Acturion here in just a moment. But first, Davis, if you would, please, let's wrap up that news.
Let's do it. Export sales of cotton in the weekend of June 3 totaled just over 108,000 bales for old crop. It was a disappointing 21,400 bales for new crop delivery. USDA's old crop cotton export estimate raised 150,000 barrels from May, dropping carryover by that same amount. Estimated new crop exports were raised 100,000 bales, with new crop carryover down 200,000 bales from last month. July cotton up 74 points today, 87.36. December cotton gained 87 points, 88.21. On the livestock side, export sales of beef of 16,100 metric tons helped live cattle futures close slightly higher. August live cattle 27.5 cents higher, 118.55. October up 22.5, 124.20. August feeders firmed 12.5 cents to 148.40. And on the snout side, pork export sales of 19,700 metric tons were uninspiring. July lean hogs down 17.5, 121.32.5. August hogs slipped a nickel to 118.70. It kind of feels like the whole export sales report was just generally uninspiring.
Well,
would you say?
Yeah, I would definitely say that that is the case. No doubt about it. Get this. Now, on Monday, July lean hogs closed at 122.10. And we have been down 3 days in a row.
Whoa.
So we may have completed a three-day downside correction. And we closed today. So Monday we closed at 122.10. And today we closed at 121.32.5. So a three-day correction and less – well, a three-day correction and less than a buck to the downside?
I guess we'll take that. We'll take that.
I'd say watch out for next week.
Feels,
yeah, it feels like a big move coming in that hog market. It does to me anyway. All right, Kent Beadle is with Acturion Risk Consulting, CHS Hedging. Kent, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me on. It's awful hot up here in the Twin Cities, as it is everywhere else. But you know, it's a good day to talk to you. I think we got a lot to talk about with the report that we had this afternoon.
Yeah, we certainly do. We certainly do have a lot to cover. Now, Kent, let's stay on what you were talking about, though, and that would be the weather. Does it feel a little? You know what Oliver said in the first segment is exactly right. We're not going to kill a corn crop, a bean crop, or even a spring wheat crop right now. But the weather conditions that we have right now will either set that crop up for failure or success later in the year. And we're doing more for failure in the Western Belt than success, aren't we?
Well, we certainly are. you know, I like to think about a corn crop as being, you know, having an ultimate yield potential when the seed goes in the ground. Mm-hmm. And then every single day, something's happening to take a little bit of yield potential off or not, if things are, you know, if weather is good. And, you know, geez, just in the last couple of weeks, I've had to talk with clients about, you know, getting nipped by frost. I mean, that was only a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. And now we've got corn that's anywhere from 3 to 7 leaves or whatever, and maybe knee high in some parts of the country, but corn is rolling up. I had a chance to drive across southern Minnesota on Tuesday. It was 99 degrees. The view from the road was a chalky white, you know, whitish green sort of crop with a lot of pineapple leaves out there. And you know, I'm not an agronomist, but I've been told frequently that at this time in the growing season, we're setting up the size of the ears. And I have to think that, you know, we're having some impact on what that ultimate yield ultimately is going to be. I think it's still a lot more important that we have moisture, you know, in July and, and, you know, we moderate the temperatures at that point in time. And if we do that, there's still, you know, a decent likelihood that we'll have, you know, a decent amount of bushels. But I think that, you know, every day that goes by where we're in the 90s and, you know, looking ahead at our forecast here in Minnesota, we're talking about 90s again most of next week. I have to think that that 179.5 yield estimate from the USDA is getting harder and harder to achieve.
Yeah, I agree. We're 93 degrees in Denver in Northeast Iowa right now. And we've got 90s in the forecast for several days over the week ahead. And the one thing that's missing is rain. And it's troubling. I mean, we had 0.2 inch of rain so far. Now, there's a chance for rain yet this afternoon. It's going to be scattered showers around northern and eastern Iowa again. And now we might be an exception because there are some areas that got stuck under a cloud and picked up some nice rains in the last 24 hours. But boy, I'm feeling dusty. I am feeling dusty. No, there's no doubt about it.
Okay. I left Hudson, Wisconsin last Thursday. That's some of the greenest lawn I've had in a number of years. And I got home on Tuesday and it was brown. And that's just, you know, five consecutive days of mid-90s temperatures. I think that, you know, I'm a lot more concerned about Minnesota and Iowa than I am about Illinois and you know, Indiana, Ohio. I'm still concerned about North Dakota, despite the fact that they have had some rainfall. I'm still concerned about South Dakota, despite the fact that they have some rain in the forecast. The soil moisture profile is just very, very dry. The subsoil profile is dry. And, you know, I think about North Dakota, where they managed to get some rain here this past week. But then I look at the temperatures and I look at the wind and I think about the evaporation that's going on up there. And I just can't think that they were able to get an awful lot of benefit from it. It's very concerning. In some respects, I feel as though the market is being a little bit complacent about it. Granted, the prices are high, and you know, you're going to get farmers selling on rallies, and we've definitely seen that. You're definitely making the end user think twice about whether or not they want to reach for coverage at these higher price levels, because, you know, profitability is somewhat problematic, and yet you just wonder how much there's going to be to buy if this weather pattern continues.
Okay, let's get to some of the details. Got to start with this corn. They pushed the food seed and industrial estimate on usage estimate on corn up by 75 million bushels. All of that went into the corn for ethanol component of that category. We've now got that at 5.05 billion bushels, and they added another 75 million bushels to the exports. I expected the move, maybe not 75 million on the ethanol number, Kent. I did not really see that move on exports coming. I figured maybe they were going to wait again. This is a big move.
It is a big move. I think it's a warranted move, given the fact that we have 3 months left. And if you just go back and look at history, other than years like 2012-13, when we were even higher than this and severely rationing demand, you've never been able to see such a small last quarter export sales as what is essentially implied in the export estimate prior to today. So I think that they were forced to raise exports. And of course, you know, we've had all this chatter about, well, the Chinese might cancel or the Chinese might roll. And of course, if that happens, then the USDA will have to take another look at it. But, you know, given what's on the books today and the inspections and pace that we've had every single week, you know, I think that their hand was forced. And I only thought it was going to be 25 million bushels. I thought ethanol was going to be 25 million bushels. And you know, that was the, I think, the trade expectation. So getting to a 1.1 billion bushel carryout ahead of this stocks report is just really interesting to me because, first of all, I think ethanol could go up a little bit more. I think exports could go up a little bit more. And as we've talked here before, I actually believe that the stocks number is something that's been lurking in the background and hasn't been paid attention to. But we need to go all the way back to last January. And we would note that those stocks were 300 million bushels less than expected. And
we need to take a break, and this is too important. So let's start with this and your stocks expectations and take a look back at the previous reports because this is too important to rush through. So we're talking with Kent Beadle-Agurian right here on AgriTalk.
AGI SureTrack's Bin Manager is the industry's leading grain bin management solution, supported by the only platform on the market to connect data points from across your operation. Soil, weather, machine, agronomic, equipment, and grain characteristic data combine to deliver a data story that drives profit and production. Mobile or desktop, stay informed, stay safe, and stay connected with AGI SureTrack. For more information, visit www.agisuretrack.com.
Time now for headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, more rain is coming for the Northern Plains, but not a shift in the dry pattern. This according to World Weather Inc. Strategy Grains now estimates a 500,000 metric ton increase from its May soft wheat forecast to well above last year's crop. The Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations predicts the world food import bill will rise 12% from its previous high. President Joe Biden said he would use the G7 summit to address the coronavirus and other problems like climate change. El Salvador becomes the first nation to make Bitcoin a legal tender. That was a move championed by its president. And JBS says it paid $11 million. That's $11 million in ransom to cyber hackers. Pro Farmer members are equipped with this information every day before they open. Join them at tryprofarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory, got Davis Michelson, and we're having a conversation with Kent Beadle from Agurian Risk Consulting. Before we get back to Kent, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat 4.5 cents higher, 640.25. September spring wheat closed at 781.75. That's up 12 cents. July corn futures 8.25 cents higher at 699. December corn closed at 616.5, up 6.75 cents. July soybean futures 18.5 cents lower, 1544. November bean futures closed at 1459.5, up 11.25 cents. July cotton up 74 points, 87.36. On the livestock side, April live cattle 27.5 higher, but 118.55. August feeders firmed 12.5 cents to 148.40. And July lean hogs down 17.5 cents to 121.32.5. That is your quick market recap. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Kent Beadle, Agurian Risk Consulting. Kent, I had to cut you off at the end of the last segment because what your take on what's going on with these with the quarterly grain stocks numbers, I think, is really important. And basically, it goes all the way back to a 2019 corn crop that you believe was overestimated, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. That crop, as most of us realize, was planted wet, planted late. And when it was harvested immature in many cases. It was a light crop. It was a poor quality crop that broke up easily. And essentially what happened to that crop is when it got put in the bin, it was estimated to be a certain number of bushels in that bin. And when it came out of the bin, there were less bushels that came out. Right. Now, if you think about our carryout supply in September of 2020, it was estimated at 1.9 billion bushels. Well, that was 1.9 billion bushels of that off-quality corn. So when you fast forward into January, the expectation for the quarterly grain stocks ended up being 620 million bushels less than the average trade guess. 325 million bushels of that was lower production, but the rest of it was disappearance. And I think that disappearance has to do with those off-quality bushels moving out of bins and through the system. And that's what's called disappearance, and it usually shows up in the feed and residual category.
Yeah.
However, the USDA, because it lowered production, lowered feed and residual usage. They have a tendency to do that. And as a result, all of this disappearance, all of this corn that, went poof, hasn't been addressed in the balance sheet. Now, there could be some offsets on this report. Keep in mind that we are feeding some wheat now in the Southern Plain.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that this, the 2020 crop was certainly a much higher test weight and maybe even higher than 56 pounds in some areas. And maybe that provides some offset. But if you think about the carryout now being down to 1.1 billion bushels, and we haven't addressed this stocks issue yet, I just wonder where we're going to be if we end up having a bullish stocks report in June or, at the end of on the September report, which will be our official ending stocks number.
Yeah. Here's the bottom line. 1.1 billion bushels is tight enough. Compared to our estimated use, that's a stocks to use ratio of 7.4%. And you referenced the 2012-13 marketing year earlier, Kent. And so I went back and looked at that. That 12-13 was the lowest stocks to use ratio on record here at 7.4%. So we're expected to end this year tied for the tightest stocks to use ratio. That's before the stocks adjustment. Yeah.
And we may be tighter. One of the things that I pay attention to is the average basis in the United States.
Yeah.
And that's been running at about 10 cents over the July. And you can't go back in history and find a period of time in the month of May or June where our average U.S. basis was 10 over.
Right.
All right. This is the tightest and the strongest that it's ever been. It's actually weakened a little bit as we've rallied above $7 on a few occasions and we've gotten some crop to move. And, we are so volatile right now and the markets are thin. And so it's pretty easy to get emotional and scared. And it's not with the inverse. It's certainly worthwhile to be moving bushels because the market wants them. But I wonder what the marketplace is going to have to do to get enough bushels to get through the crop year, because this is extraordinarily tight.
Right. Okay. Now, I said this at the start of the show. I want to take the conversation over to soybeans. The stocks to use ratio for 2020-21 is now estimated at 3%, 3.0%. You go back, the tightest on record is the 13-14, not the 12-13, but the 13-14 marketing year when we got all the way down to 2.6%. At 3%, Kent, There is zero room for error in this, and the question I've got is does the increase in the crush estimate that we got today, I'm sorry, the decrease in the crush estimate that we got today, does that signal that we are going to, or that we've stayed high enough long enough period of time?
So you could look at it that way, but there might be another way to look at it. We've seen some lower crush numbers as of late. And you have to ask yourself, is that because the industry just doesn't have the beans to crush? Okay. I mean, I think it's still very, very difficult to buy soybeans out there. And with a 2.6% or 3% stocks to use ratio, you absolutely expect that it's going to be hard to be able to source your grind. And I think that if you go ask a merchandiser at a crush plant, they have a very hard time buying soybeans. Right. Now, we've had a lot of fluctuation in crush margins as of late. You know, we go from, over a dollar a bushel and back down to 60 cents a bushel. Crush plants are making money either way. And, 15 million bushels as a percentage of the balance sheet just isn't really all that much at all. Obviously, the market took it pretty badly today. But this kind of goes to something else that I've been talking about, and that is just how illiquid the markets are, how thin the markets are. And, given the fact that we've had multi-dollar moves, both higher and lower, on a few occasions, there just isn't a lot of resting paper anywhere. And so when you have a day like today and you get something that's a little bit negative, like you saw in the beans, there wasn't any resting paper between unchanged and down 15. Boom, yeah. You're there. And then you came all the way back and then you went back down. It's thin and it's volatile, but I'm not sure that at 135 million bushel carryout versus 120 million bushel carryout that you can say anything other than, things are tight. Right. I want to make one more point about the soybean balance sheet. And that is, of course, they carried that extra 15 million bushels over into next year's balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And next year's balance sheet is very, very much a work in progress. Mm-hmm. But, take a look at the export number. The export number is a couple hundred million bushels less than we exported this year. And granted, the Brazilian crop this year was a little bit bigger. But right now, the Chinese hog herd is on the rebound. And the Chinese government is in the process of trying to rebuild some supplies. And we've already made some fairly significant new crop sales. And I think there are more to be made. I actually kind of believe that lower estimate in exports has a lot more to do with the fact that the balance sheet just doesn't resolve if you were to carry this year's export program forward. Yep. And that's what we're going to see here in the future.
Yeah. I think that 200 million bushel lower export estimate for 2021-22 is sending a signal out to Brazil to increase your acres. And I think it can't, we've only got a minute, but I think that suggests that the folks at the World Board that put this number together think that we are going to get an increase in bean plantings in the June acreage report that will allow them to push that export estimate higher in the future. Yay, nay.
Not only in beans, but you have the same situation in corn. And we're looking for higher acres on both. And those acres and that production will get eaten up in exports once they're able to print that in July.
Gotcha.
I think we agree on that.
Gotcha. Man, it's always fun to talk with you, Ken. Thank you so much for making time for us on a report day, okay?
No, thank you for having me on, and you know, good luck to all the listeners out there. Let's hope we can get some rain.
You bet. Let's get some rain. Stay cool, Kent. We'll talk to you later. Kent Beadle, Agurian Risk Consulting. Okay, when we come back, I've got a few highlights that I want to pull from that conversation. You know, without saying what I have said a few times on the show, Kent said it when we're talking about this bean crush estimate. Why bid for something that isn't there?
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten in a tree. And I'm clinging to a clown I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand.
Joe, turn off the TV. Joe.
Joe.
You're at work,
walk
man.
My way.
Joe. Joe. He's lost the remote again. He's lost the remote.
Or we've lost his
welcome
attention,
back to AgriTalk. We've absolutely lost it. I think let's just generalize. Welcome back to AgriTalk. No, seriously, it's AgriTalk. You're fine. You're good. You're where you wanted to be. We appreciate you. Davis Michelson here. Chip Flory. Hey, dude.
Yeah.
I know we're not supposed to look at the weather on our phones. How many weathermen have told us that?
Right.
That
yeah,
we've come
worth
across.
What you pay for it.
But I hit the little temperature thing on here, and it looks like freaking Dante's Inferno everywhere in the United States, except for, I don't know, is that about Reno northward to about Billings
yeah.
and then up to Canada?
Right.
Call it moderate. We talked to Carl, the mailman Mike, earlier on this week about how he feels like the corn is starting to roll over in western Iowa.
Yep.
That can't be a unique situation over there. We talked about the weather could be hot and dry around the June, July period. And we wondered, well, where is it? Dude, we're in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so now.
Real quick on to confirm what mailman Mike was talking about. At A Klein Farmer 84 tagged us in a tweet earlier that is showing some. Oh, I'd call it knee-high corn over in west central Iowa that's showing moisture stress. It's not rolled up tight, but it is showing some stress.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and then that leads me to, for the second time this week, because I think Brian Basting mentioned it yesterday, mm-hmm. the numbers 2012 and 2013 mm-hmm. came up in today's conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? Is it too soon?
No, well, here's the deal. I don't think that's not a weather factor for the reason that the 2012-13 is coming up. The reason that
right.
that marketing
this is my
year,
point. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason that the marketing year is coming up is because that's when we had the tightest corn stocks to use ratio on record, and we had a very tight soybean stocks to use ratio on record as well. At the time, in 2012-13, it was a record-tight stocks-to-use ratio for soybeans, but it got tighter in the 13-14 marketing year. The reason that we're talking about that is because both Brian and Kent presented a case in which they believe, and I'm going to be there with them, that in they presented the case that actual physical stocks available to the marketplace across the country are tighter than what USDA has indicated. Now, we get the quarterly grain stocks report at the end of this month. As Kent was warning, we could be in for a surprise on the corn stocks number in particular. And on soybeans, it's like I said at the end of the last segment. Why bid for something that isn't there? That's one of the reasons mm-hmm. that we've seen some pressure on the basis. I know it. I know that's what mm-hmm. the guys have just decided. Listen, I could post $2 over and I might get 20% of what I need.
Right.
Posting, you know, but with a big push in basis. I'm better off dropping basis, sitting back, waiting for somebody to say, you know what, I still got that bin of beans to move. I'm at least going to call and see if I can get it, and see if I can get a better basis bid than what's being advertised over there. I pretty much guarantee you can't, is what I've been told. Okay.
So what if you combine that plus the 2012-13 conversation we've just had with a Dante's Inferno weather pattern?
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean,
Bubba said it yesterday.
He did. Well, he didn't say it. I'll say it. He suggested, he hinted at, he wasn't predicting, he hinted at $20 beans.
Yeah. What he said was, we could see beans get out of the teens, and I don't mean to the downside.
And wink, wink.
Yeah, demand is not showing the sensitivity to price that it has in the past. Now, we learned our lesson back in the, you know, that 08, take 09 out of there, but then the 10 crop year, the 11 crop year, 12 crop year, 13 crop year, we kind of learned our lesson on soybeans that market is not going to show much sensitivity to price. But on corn, it did. I mean, we wiped out 40 years of growth in export demand for U.S. corn in 1 year by sending it to $7-$8. Well, $8.43 and a quarter, I think it was. But the amount of demand disruption that was caused in that 12-13 marketing year was heart-wrenching. It was heartbreaking. It was crushing that we saw that happen. This year, we're looking at record exports on old crop corn, and we've seen $7 corn prices. We've got $7 plus cash corn prices, and we have not crushed demand. As a matter of fact, demand is increasing, not just export demand. Domestic demand is increasing. It's just it's a fascinating year, Davis.
I feel like we've got to be careful, though. If Jared Creed yesterday did bring up something that I haven't heard many people talk about, and that's higher input costs, higher per acre costs.
Yep.
Got to be careful for that.
You bet.
Because your inputs are going up at the same time.
Thank you so much for listening today. Thanks to Kent Beadle for coming on, sharing some perspectives on the report. Tomorrow morning, it's a free-for-all. We've got Pro Farmers Jim Wiesmeyer. We've got Delaware Ag Secretary Michael Skews.
Whoa.
Man, he brings a lot to it. He's a confidant of President Biden's. And we've got Illinois farmer and host of the Shark Farmer podcast, radio, and TV, Rob Sharkey, coming on to the free-for-all. Tomorrow afternoon, Lance Honig, and we'll wrap up Pork Week with Scott Brown from the University of Missouri.